So we're on the Gemara on Daf Tes, Zayin, Omud, Aleph. We're trying to work out what does it mean in the Mishnah that you judge a Shevet with 71. What does that mean, you judge a Shevet with 71? It can't mean you judge the whole tribe for reasons that we discussed yesterday. And therefore, we're looking for an alternative explanation. What does it mean you judge the Shevet? So the first pshat we had yesterday was that you're not actually judging the Shevet, rather you're judging the Nosi of the Shevet. And the Nosi has special status. We learned that from a Pasuk. It says that you have to bring to Moshe Rabbeinu Kol Dovah HaGodol, to which we learn not only a great matter, but also the matter of a great person. And therefore, even though a regular person, when he's up for trial, and we're talking about a death sentence, you need 23 dayonim, but in the case of a nosi, you'll need 71. That's our first pshat in the Mishnah. When it says you judge the shevet, it does not mean you're judging the entire shevet, but rather you're judging the nosi of the shevet. So have a look at the fourth line of the Gemara on Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. It would go amiss if we didn't make mention, having just read in the Gemara, Hai Nami Godoil Hu. That was the Lashon of the Gemara, the last line of the Gemara that we left off with. And we did not realize that 25 minutes later, a Godoil will be taken from us. When the Chofetz Chaim was Nifta, so his great Talmud, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, gave a hesped. And he said, my Rebbe, the Chofetz Chaim, was an Odom Godel. What does that mean, an Odom Godel? And he explained, and he said, but imagine if you'd see somebody who was 30 feet tall, a giant, enormous stature. And clearly, to be that tall, you have to have very, very long legs and a very long spine and an oversized head. But imagine if you looked at his arms, for example, and you saw that his arms were actually not oversized at all, and they were the regular normal size that every other human being has as well. So Rabbi Chanan said you would no longer describe that person as a giant. Rather, you'd say he's deformed. Because if a person is truly a giant, then every part of his goof has to be proportionately larger than an average person. And if his arms are a regular normal size, then that person is deformed. So he explained, and he said that a godel be Yisrael, a godel, an odom godel, means he's a godel in all areas. He doesn't merely excel in one aspect of Torah or Avodah or a particular Midah, but rather he excels in all areas, in all spheres, he's a great person. And he said that's really the only way that you could define somebody as truly being an Odom Godel. Reb Gershon Edelstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, as described yesterday, I was there at the Levaya with hundreds of thousands. I don't know what the official numbers were. It doesn't make a difference. But there were hundreds of thousands of people there. And we heard very much this was the theme. That he was a godel in all areas. In Gemilas Chasodim, in his Avodah, and above all his Torah. Quite phenomenally, he gave a shiur on the last day of his life from his hospital bed. Passed away yesterday morning, on Tuesday morning. On Monday evening, he gave a shiur, as he has been doing for the last 80 years in succession. And in fact, yesterday morning, he prepared a shiur. And whilst he was writing, he always used to write out the she'er, even though presumably we're talking about sugyas that he had given shirim on many, many, many times. I heard this from somebody there, the Levaya, who was told this by one of the great-grandchildren of Rav Gershon Edelstein. And in fact, he said the last sugi he was learning was a Gemara in Sanhedrin, which is the Gemara that we're learning as well. And he was literally preparing the shir and his pen just dropped. And he left us. Which means he was zeicha until the last moment of his life. Not only to be loymeid Torah, but to be marabit Torah, to spread Torah. And we cannot really make the cheshbonus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously. But we see over here an outstanding thing. As mentioned, Reb Gershon, the Rosh Hashiva, was a godel in all areas. He may not have been so well known to us until comparatively recently. But he's been the Rosh Hashiva for decades upon decades upon decades. He was the Baal Tikeya in the Ponovitch Yeshiva for 78 years, including this year as well, at the age of 99. And I remember many years ago when Rav Shach was Nifta, it was over about 22 or 23 years ago, and I remember a family member of mine from Chutz La'aretz says, "Oh, I wonder who the next Godel Yisrael will be." And I said, "Well, it doesn't go up for vote. It's not an election. But rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu organizes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranges that every Doir has the Godel HaDoir. Nobody votes him in and nobody votes him out. But the way the Hashkacha Protus has had it, that when one Godel leaves the scene, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always ensures that Klal Yisrael is in good hands. That's what we've seen recently with Rav Eliashiv, and Rav Shteyman, and Rav Kanievsky, and now Rav Gershon. And so as mentioned, even though we may not have heard about him as much until comparatively recently, he's been Rosh Hashiva for decades upon decades upon decades. He has thousands and thousands and thousands of Talmidim, and most of his Talmidim have Talmidim. But we see an incredible thing over here. Because particularly in recent times, in the last decade or so, maybe more, where his house became a Rishus HaRabim, the greatest matters in Klal Yisrael, whether political or social or communal, all fell on his shoulders. And we see two very, very important lessons over here, I think, that bear thinking about. Number one, Reb Gershon was making decisions, the Rosh Hashiva was making decisions on the biggest issues of Klal Yisrael, advising politicians and Rabbonim and Rebbeim and Chadorim and Shalom Bayis and Chinuch and everything in between. And I have no doubt that the Rosh Hashiva never studied politics and he never studied Chinuch or Shalom Bayis as a subject in university. But when a person dedicates his entire life to Torah, then his Das is in fact Das Torah. He is incapable of seeing anything other than through the prism of Torah. The person puts on dark glasses and he will necessarily see everything dark. It's not shayach that he would see things otherwise. So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman once said, that every single person has Das Torah. Every one of us sitting here in this shir has Das Torah. But Rabbi Chanan said a very important thing. To what extent does every person have Das Torah? And he explained, to the extent that your mind is filled with only Torah. Which means that if somebody's mind is filled with 10% Torah, but 90% of other things, then he has 10% Das Torah. But if somebody's mind is filled with 100% Torah and nothing else, and he has 100% Das Torah, you don't need to go to medical school or to politics school or to any other school. But somebody who dedicates his entire life to learning in the Beis HaMedrash and he has unadulterated, unfiltered Das Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make a mistake. If thousands of people were going to him for his advice and for his bracha, then clearly that was the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one thing that is very important for us to think about and be mischazikin, that our G'dayle Torah were never voted in and were not voted out, but their Das is Das Torah. They see things differently from the way that we do because our minds are not 100% Das Torah, but theirs is. But a second point, and that is the Rosh Hashiva's house was open Yom V'Laila. They spoke about it at the Hespedim yesterday. On occasion, he was in bed in his pajamas. But if somebody knocked on the door, he told them, bring them in. As long as he's not asleep, if somebody needs me, I have to tend to him. I have to advise him. I have to help him. I have to guide him. So therefore, at first glance, a person might think, oh, Bittul Torah. Think of the hours and the hundreds of hours that he must have spent giving people brachas and shiurim and lectures, etc., etc., etc. And yet we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashlim. He didn't lose out at all. He lived to over 100. So we're not here to make the cheshbonus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but somebody who dedicated his life to others didn't lose out at all. Didn't lose out at all. To the contrary, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, was mashlim his time. And this is something that we've also seen in recent times, that G'dayli Yisrael have lived to very, very old ages. Just in the last decade or so, we have seen Rav Steinman, who lived to 102, and Rav Ozna, 102, and Rav Eliashiv, over 100, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, well into his 90s, and now Rav Gershon Edelstein, over 100. So we say every single day in davening, Ala tzadikim, v'ala chasidim, v'al ziknei amcha beis Yisrael, v'al pleitas seifreim. We are davening for the ziknei amcha beis Yisrael every day. And we realize that when we have a koyach of that, a koyach of Torah in our midst, then it's a different world. It's not just a practical measure that we have an address to go to, but the koyach of Torah is stronger in the world. Which means that if we ask ourselves the question, you know, what's the tragedy? Surely this is not a tragedy. He was over 100. And he left over an entire empire, all his children and children-in-law, Talmidei Chachomim, Muflogim, all of them. He's left over Sporim, I think, on every Masechta in Shas, or most Masechtas in Shas. Children, grandchildren, a whole family, Talmidim. What's the tragedy? But the tragedy is that the flame of Torah was extinguished yesterday. That's the tragedy. The koyach of Torah, the zchuyos that the koyach of Torah brings with it, was extinguished yesterday. Nobody expected the Rosh Hashiva to live to 500. But we have to realize that when the koyach of Torah is diminished, and the world is a different place. We all saw that in a most frightening way. Just after Chaim Kanievsky was niftar, there was a terrorist attack in Bnei Brak. Unprecedented. The koyach of Torah, Torah protects. Torah protects those who learn, and Torah protects those who attach themselves to G'dayli Yisrael. So as we just read in our Gemara, Hai Nami Godoil Hu, we have to realize the true definition of a Godoil is somebody who's godel in all areas, who excels in all areas. As we saw in the Rosh Hashiva, and this is a time for us to stop and think where we can excel, at least in some areas, to become the best possible Eved Hashem that we can become. Let's go back into the Gemara on the fourth line, Ula Omer. So we're looking to work out, what does it mean judging a shevet? How do you judge a shevet? Ula Omer. The first pshat was, we're judging the nosi of the shevet. We're not actually judging the entire shevet. The second pshat is, Ula Omer, Rabbi Elazar, in the name of Rabbi Elazar. Beboim, they have come, Al iske nachalois, matters of inheritance, or portions in Eretz Yisrael. As we know from Parshas Matos, when Klal Yisrael had Eretz Yisrael divided up for them, it was divided in accordance with each Shevet, and the Nossi of the Shevet, he was the one who took charge. But Eretz Yisrael was divided into 12 portions according to each Shevet. Therefore, says the Gemara, when our Mishnah talks about judging the Shevet, it does not mean, as previously thought, that the Shevet was over an Aveira. That's not what it means. Rather, we are judging something to do with Nachalos in Eretz Yisrael. There needs to be an adjudication, whatever the Shaila may have arisen, about a Nachalos. So, for example, the Shaila might arise, where exactly is the border, for example, between one Shevet and a different Shevet? That's a question of Nachalos, and that needs to be adjudicated by a Beis Din of 71. So when we say that we're judging the Shevet, we don't mean the entire Shevet, as in they were over an Avera, but rather we're judging the Shevet, we're judging the Nachalo of the Shevet. And why do you need 71, says the Gemara? The boy in Al Iske Nachalois, they have come concerning inheritance portions of the land. Uka Tchilosa Shel Eretz Yisrael. Just like the Tchilo. Just like when Eretz Yisrael was originally split up between all the Shvatim. Ma Tchilosa Shivim Ve'echod. Just like initially, when Eretz Yisrael was first split up, it was done so by a Beis Din of 71. Afkan, so too, forevermore, if ever a discussion arises, a shaila arises with regard to the Nachala, it's got to be Shivim Ve'echod. So we now have a second pshat. Have a look at Rashi on the second line at the top. Uketchiloso shel Eretz Yisrael, kach dino lo'ilo. Just like it was in the Tchila, when Eretz Yisrael was split up for the first time, so forevermore. What does that mean, forevermore? Im noflo machloikas. If ever there arose a machloikas, nachlo b'shevet, with regard to the nachlo of a particular tribe, so we need a bezdin to paskin. Who does this land belong to? So just like first time round, when Eretz Yisrael was split up, it was done so with 71 Dayanim, so too forevermore, Eretz Yisrael, Iske Nachalois, always has to be judged with 71. The Gemara, however, asks, this is problematic. Why? Because as mentioned, there's no source in the Torah that Nachalois need to be adjudicated with 71, other than it was once upon a time done so for the very, very first time. And if apparently we must always compare any Shaila of Nachalois nowadays to the initial splitting up of Eretz Yisrael, and we're saying that that apparently sets a precedent forevermore, then 1 second, says the Gemara. Imatchiloso carries on the Gemara. So maybe we should look back at the Tchila and realize that actually there were other details as well. Imatchiloso kalpi and Urim v'tumim v'chol Yisrael. Three other details existed at the time of the very first splitting up of Eretz Yisrael. Number one, there was a kalpi. A kalpi means, as it were, a lottery box. As we know, Klal Yisrael split up Eretz Yisrael with a goyro, a lottery. That was one detail. Another detail, there was the Urim V'tumim involved, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. Number three, V'chol Yisrael, all of Klal Yisrael were present at the time. So if you're going to tell me that what? That whenever I have a shaila in nachalois, it's got to be decided in exactly the same way as it was first time round. And first time round was 71, so too forevermore 71. Well, the comparison surely does not end there. Maybe forevermore, I should also have to have a lottery box, or in Batumim, all of Klal Yisrael. And we do not find any Mishnah that says that we must do that. So why on earth would we say that we only compare it to the original dividing up of Klal Yisrael, of the Lachalos, only with regard to the Halacha of 71? Says the Gemara, that cannot be. And therefore, Elo Machvarto Kederev Masna. Machvarto means, therefore, we must revert back to the original Teretz, the Teretz of Rav Masna, which was, we're talking about, with paskening a shaila of a Nossi who was Oira Naveira. So even though we've had now two suggestions as to what the Mishnah means, but the second suggestion has now just fallen through. Because if you're going to tell me that Nachalos always needs 71, then I don't see any reason, says the Gemara, why it shouldn't also require a Kalpi, and Ur Batumim, and all of Yisrael, and it certainly does not require that. Therefore, that cannot be pshat in the Mishnah. Therefore, we must revert to our initial teretz, which is, what does it mean you're paskening, judging a shevet? It means the nosi of the shevet. Says the Gemara, let's try and finish in the remaining time till the two dots. Ravina Omar. Ravina now comes with a third teretz. La'oilam b'shevet shehudach. In fact, we can go back, says Ravina, to the very first suggestion, which never really got off the ground. Remember, the very, very first suggestion was that we're talking about the Shevet has been Oved Avodah Zarah. Now, why did we reject that? Because we said the numbers don't work out. Because we said you only get treated as a rabbin, either up to 100 or up to Roiv of a Shevet, but definitely not all of a Shevet. The Ravina says, I'd like to bring that teretz back. Ravina Omar La'olam b'shevet shehudach. Really, we're talking about an entire shevet that has gone astray and served Avodah Zarah. Udeko kashya lo. And the fact that you asked a very valid question, b'dina derabim daininon lei? Question mark. Why are you giving him the psak of the rabbin, which is 71, that only applies to a certain sized rabbin, which is up to 100 or 100 until Roiv of Klal Yisrael? Remember, we gave numbers of 51,000. So Ravina says, well, actually, I've got a teretz that kasha. In Afal Gav de Koklinon Beyochid. But Beidina de Rabbin Daininon Lei. What does that mean? If you remember yesterday, we said that there's a difference between a Yochid and a Rabbin on two counts. Number one, with regard to which punishment. Number two, with regard to how many on a Bezdin. So a regular, normal Yochid, somebody who is Machal Shabbos, somebody who, for example, commits a murder. Somebody Oved Avodah Zarah. What will happen to that person? Well, he needs a Bezdin of 23 because he's a Yochid. And number two, he'll be killed with a Sayaf, for example, with a sword. Or most Averas with a Chenek. When you're dealing with a Rabbim, then it gets upgraded. It's no longer 23, it's 71. And the regular punishment of chenek is also upgraded to a more severe punishment. Now, why did the Gemara reject that? Because we said a rabbim only refers to up to 51,000, not 100,000. So the Gemara says that is only true with regard to the punishment, but not with regard to the number on the Bezdin. If you have a look quickly at Rashi on the fourth line, the Koklinon B'yochid. The Dina shall shevet B'skila. The din of a shevet is with skila. That's an altogether different punishment. That's not the halacha of an ir hanidachas. A shevet gets killed with skila. Therefore, that's not considered the rabbim. The rabbim, you do not give the rabbim skila. What's the definition of rabbim? The numbers we said yesterday. So rabbim don't get skila. So Larry asked yesterday, well, doesn't seem to make sense. Well, there's more people, so now you downgrade? No, says the Gemara. The Gemara is now answering your question, Rabbi Larry, and tells you, you upgrade it to a different status. It's no longer considered the rabbim. It's a shevet. And the shevet gets skila. However, there is one halacha that we retain from the rabbin. A rabbin means an ear, is judged with 71. Says Rashi, afilu hochi bedina de rabbin daininon lei. So too, in the case of a shevet, you give them the status of a rabbin with regard to the size of the bezdin, not with regard to the punishment. The boi ayin aleph, you require 71 veloi bedina de yochid b'chof gimel. Which means, therefore, we asked a question yesterday, Larry, this was your question. If we are more stringent with a rabbim, meaning an ir anidachas, so let's define a rabbim means up to 100 or 51,000. When you get more than that, it doesn't seem to make sense to say that everything is now downgraded. If anything, it should be upgraded further. And the answer is, it is. What is it upgraded to? It's an upgraded punishment to skila. You will stone the entire shevet. Therefore, that is not the halacha of a rabbim. Remember, a regular yochid gets killed b'chenek. If it's a rabbim, it'll get upgraded to a saif. Hey, it's more than a rabbim. So if it's more than a rabbim, they get a more stringent punishment, which is skila. In what halacha am I considering it a rabbim? And the answer is not with regard to the punishment, but rather with regard to the amount of the bezdin. A yochid gets killed with 23 on the bezdin, and a tire shevet gets killed with 71. Now it's true, 71 is the number that we give to the rabbin, to the ir hanidachas, but there is no more than that. You can't have a bezdin of 100. So therefore, even though this is more than a rabbin, and that's why we upgraded the punishment, but we can't upgrade the bezdin, we've got nowhere to go to. So therefore, when the shevet committed avodah zorah, on mass avera, they will be killed beskila.